This is Monday Night Fallout with your hosts, Loverboy Langlois, Minister of Sinister, and T-Rock Plutonio. And now, it's time for Fallout.
Breaking news on Monday Night Fallout. It seems that Ric Flair has just been attacked by the Destroyer. Drax the Destroyer. Batista is in the building. And Ric Flair got dragged out by his neck from his dressing room while he was awaiting his birthday party with all the legends in the world. And Batista showed up at Monday Night Raw as Monday Night Raw goes off the air. What are we going to see next? And how is this going to translate into WrestleMania? Stay tuned next time for Monday Night S.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Fallout. I'm T-Rock Plutonium, and welcome to Monday Night Fallout. Monday Night S was just on the TV. It's not as assy as usual. Not as, by a long shot. Actually, it's a pretty good show, and Batista is back, and the world is rolling, and everything is going crazy, and we're probably going to have a short show tonight, because next week we'll be doing predictions for Fastlane. Didn't we just have a pay-per-view? I thought we did, but, you know, maybe I was wrong. And so, let's, without further ado, go to our phone lines. First, might I introduce the IWC World Heavyweight Champion, Minister of Sinister.
What's going on, T-Rock?
Nothing. Batista is back.
How about that ending? Not what I expected, but oh well. Batista's
Why
back.
Do they keep bringing Batista back as a heel, though? Like, you know, like they did the same thing last time. Like, why not give him a face run? I don't know.
I don't know, man. The thing with Batista, man, is that he's always one of them guys that you never know how the fans are going to gravitate towards him or what. Like, just now, I heard a little small chant, Batista, Batista. But, you know, it's all the fans. The fans are just fickle, like Dan O'Brien says, man. Who the fuck knows? But, yeah, welcome
fickle.
Back, Batista. I guess he's going to have something with Triple H at Mania after all.
Triple H is cleared, but that's not the big news. But before we get to the big news of the night, let's go right to the phone lines right now, and we're going to talk to the IWC Legends Champion, Christian from Philadelphia.
My thing towards the ending has given me a theory. What if this is all a big swerve? What if Ric Flair's in the act and it's going to cost Triple H to lose at WrestleMania and he's going to manage Batista? Because Batista and Ric Flair has more of a partnership and a relationship and evolution than all of the members. So what if this is all a big swerve?
That could be, because who knows what the hell is going on in WWE. But the big news of the night, and we're going to start Monday Night Fallout off with a bang. Apparently, leukemia has been conquered and is in remission as the big dog is back, the big dog in the big dog's yard. And I like to comment somebody posted on the other site, but you can go to WrestleCorp.com and post there. Whenever I hear the big dog, it makes me think he's going to drop his pants and take a dump in the yard. So that's what you think of when you think of the big dog. But yes, Roman Reigns is officially back. And we opened up Raw with Roman Reigns telling us he is back. Leukemia is in remission. And Roman Reigns is finally over. And there are a lot of people who still suspect this all is a work. But that would just be silly. Silly. Minister, silly.
Man, I'll tell you, man, they're pulling this shit off, man. And the whole time I'm sitting here thinking, man, what if this is all a fucking work, man? why would they do this, and how would they find out? And then what would the reaction be on WWE's part? You know, they'd be like, well, fuck it. That's what we do. We do this type of shit. And we're taking a personal fucking storyline of one of our superstars, and we're working with it. This is what we do. This is how we do. So I don't think they would be looked down upon. But then you never know. It could backfire. But I don't know. It's not a work, man. He had a flare-up. I read into it. You know, it didn't take that long for him to heal. And obviously he's back now. You know, what was it? 2 months? 2.5? 3 months? Whatever the fuck it was? Welcome back, fuck.
7 months.
He was out 7 months?
Well, no. 5 months. 5 months.
Five months.
I don't know.
He's
it was October,
man.
Right?
But you know, man, when you get some shit like that, the better physical shape you're in, the better off you are. And that's one of the reasons why, obviously, you know, he was able to get through this as fast as he did, or at least one of the reasons.
Thoughts and prayers, baby. Thoughts and prayers. Christian from Philadelphia. Roman Reigns has returned.
Well, I'm glad he's healthy, and I'm glad he's all right now. But let me tell you this right now. This whole cheering thing ain't going to last long. We're going to go right back to him being booed out of the building. Bad but true. Not going to last long, and then we're going to be right back to where we them pushing Roman Reigns down our throats.
You
know, I was hoping he would have turned on the fans tonight when he had that little moment. When he had that little moment and shit, and then, you know, he could have easily said, but, you guys were never there for me, blah, 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 so why would I need you now, and just fucking turn on them. That would have been great, by the way, but, of course, that would never happen, because, you know, I think it would have been great, and that's the only reason.
That is the only reason, but, you know, at least they're probably going to go light with him. I would say if I was them, he should be the special guest referee for Brock versus Seth, but that's probably not where they're going. Who knows where they're going? He could be the special timekeeper and the keeper of time and whatnot. But, so after 25 minutes of Roman Reigns coming back, which wasn't awful at all, but Roman Reigns is back in the feel-good story of the century, and it's just awesome and great, and then Ricochet and Aleister Black versus The Revival, the WWE Raw Tag Team Champions, losing again to two brand new faces, Minister of Sinister, Aleister Black, and Ricochet. I like Aleister Black. He's got a great moveset.
Yeah, man, definitely like that guy. Hasn't he been around as Ricochet for at least 10 years now or some shit?
No, I was talking about Aleister Black, not Ricochet.
Oh, Aleister Black. Shit. I thought I heard you say Ricochet. Aleister Black, man, he's pretty cool out there. I dig his entrance as well, coming off that catapult the way he does. It's pretty cool. It's a different dynamic with the candles and shit. And, yeah, his moveset in the ring, it's pretty cool. But, you know, right now they're just still not doing anything. They're throwing him out here to us so they can get our feelers, I guess, and maybe go by what's going on with ratings-wise. But, you know, that's not going to do anything unless if they're doing anything creative with them, which they're not yet. And that's the thing with these guys. They just bring them in with no freaking direction from the get-go, and they expect us to clamor to them. And so right now, I'm at odds. I mean, don't get me wrong. His moveset's good, yeah, and I like Ricochet. I like the way he bounces around all over the place, too. He's pretty exciting to watch. But again, they have no direction yet. So it's like, fuck, man, you know, do something with these guys right now. Because, yeah, I know they can go, you know, and here they are going, but with no direction. Do something.
Do something. Christian from Philadelphia, Ricochet, and Aleister Black against the tag team champions or whatever. Who cares?
I didn't like this because this was rushed. In fact, not for nothing, but the whole show was fucking rushed. Didn't it feel like it was rushed? Like, the match was rushed. The segments were rushed. Like, everything was rushed. It was not that good. I mean, I love the movesets, but the whole match was rushed.
And again, as T-Rock said, I mean, here you have your champions losing two times already. Two times to these guys. So what does that say about your current champions? I mean, get the fucking titles off of them. I mean, that's the first thing it's going to say.
It's not only them, though. It's also Daniel Bryan, Asuka. The list goes on.
Well, that is true.
The list goes
Touché.
On. So do we. Elias does a thing in the ring and then is interrupted by Dean Ambrose, who I like this new Dean Ambrose, and it's obvious he's being punished on the way out, but he's very entertaining. And then he tells Elias that he wants to hear his songs and gives him a Dirty Deeds, and that's pretty much that. Minister, are you convinced that Dean Ambrose is leaving the WWE?
No, I'm not. I'm not. After that picture that you painted last week, I've actually been consumed with thoughts of him not leaving. I still haven't bought into it. I mean, yeah, they, you know, that they're saying it and they're pushing it and they're giving him this, you know, this crap that he's working with, these storylines that make no sense, but that could just be creative, not really having anything for him until it's time to pull the trigger on him, which could happen, you know, at WrestleMania or the night after, as we spoke about last week. So, yeah, no, I'm not convinced, man. It's WWE. Anything can happen.
I tell you,
I'm
man, just come out and be like, I for all the rumors that say I wasn't going to resign, I did resign with one caveat, that I get a championship match tonight against Seth Rollins. And then he wins.
Seth Rollins has his ribs all bandaged. He's on fucking crutches. Got a fucking patch on his head. And Dean Ambrose beats him down. Fresh. He's fresh because he didn't have anything at Mania.
Yeah,
it
sure.
Makes sense.
Fresh is... Christian, do you think that Dean Ambrose is leaving or is he staying?
I think he's leaving because I think they're going to have one more Shield reunion and then he's going to be gone. But I love the fact that we haven't talked about the fucking Lacey Evans doing her fucking thing again, where she enters and then she leaves. What the fuck are they doing with this woman? She's getting fucking annoying now. Lacey Evans.
Well, clearly these are her vignettes, but they're live, actually. So I don't know what you call them, because vignettes would be taped, but...
Walking out, walking back. That's good, though. She's getting TV time, and she's annoying as hell. And, you know, everybody interrupted Elias, which led to Natalya and Ronda Rousey versus the Beaky Squad. And I have to hate the cameraman for showing us the side of Beaky, and I did not want to see Beaky ass. I did not want to see Beaky ass. But we got a nice view of Beaky ass as this ass match went on, and then... went on a little too long, but Becky Lynch came out in her Kill Bill outfit into the ring, and she didn't make it into the ring, and then she, you know, got arrested, and Ronda Rousey's pissed, and Natalya goes back, and then Ronda Rousey comes out and stutters, and that's all, folks. And then Porky Pig lays down the belt in front of Stephanie, and they have to try to turn that into some promo for WrestleMania, but I don't know how they're going to edit that because she fucked up her line. But that's okay because I watched the porn today with Ronda Rousey in it. It looked like Ronda Rousey, so that's good enough for me. No more championship? Who knows? Minister of Sinister, what the fuck is going on?
Woo! You got me on that one, man. The whole thing was botched. Her lines... clearly, she blew that promo. They're gonna have to, they're gonna have to do all kinds of editing from more than one episode. She clearly did not deliver her lines. Yeah, the whole thing was fucked up, man. She laid down the title there. Who knows what's gonna happen to the title? She wants. She made her ultimatums. That, you know, and reinstate the man, Becky Lynch, immediately. And laid down the title and walked away. The match itself, it did seem like it was long. A couple of botches in there as well. But, yeah, man, this whole thing was filler, and it was done badly. You know, if you're going to have some shit like this, at least do it right. She's all I'm talking about Ronda Rousey is all over the place with her fucking lines. She's all over the place, running up and down, not making sense, man. She sounds like I do right now. Just not making any freaking sense, okay? Because there's nothing to make sense of. Let's get that guy with the freaking math. What's his name, man? Fucking Steiner out here to make a math equation out of this, because nothing makes fucking sense when it comes to Ronda Rousey. And I think that the other talent in the back are probably feeling cheated right about now, man. Because, they could have probably done this better without her. But she's the biggest name. They rolled out the red carpet. Here she is, shitting all over everything she touches. And, I mean, she's had her moments. And I think she'll continue to have great moments. But, I mean, shit, man. When she's out there with a live microphone, they need to perhaps not let her steer away too much from the planned promos. Or I don't know if it's that she can't remember her lines or what the hell's going on. She needs to work on it. It's fucked up. It's broken.
She kicked the ass of many of the WWE people and beat them down and whatever. Christian, so what happens now? Do they just take Ronda Rousey out of the title picture and just give it to Charlotte?
No, the title's going to be vacant, I think, or she's still going to be champion, but it's going to be a fucking triple threat match, whether we like it or not.
Ladder match.
Yeah. Ronda.
Hey, I like that.
Ronda buried the division tonight. She fucking basically said that, I have a lot of money, I don't need this fucking job. What the fuck is wrong with you? She buried the whole fucking division. Why? Why would you fucking do that? And then she called the fucking title Gotti. She fucking called the title a fucking toy. Like, what the fuck?
And she called it a belt.
She called it a belt, too. Yeah. She called it a belt, even. And they're not supposed to call it a belt.
Yeah,
and there she was, calling it a belt.
What the fuck are they doing? Well, the storyline doesn't fucking make sense to begin with. This fucking build sucks. It doesn't make sense whatsoever. Who's the face and who's the heel in this situation? What the fuck?
No, nobody. And moving on. Jinder Mahal comes out and says he's, what has Ric Flair done? Nothing, apparently. What has Ric Flair ever done? I don't know. I can't think of any off the top of my head. And then Kurt Angle comes in. And after 30 seconds, is in a rest hold for 2 minutes and then wins the match.
Oh, yeah.
Kurt Angle wins the match against Jinder Mahal. Minister Sinister, what did you think of this one?
That had to be the longest rest hold I've ever seen, man. I've been watching, shit, I'm 50 now. I've been watching every bit of 45 years, and that had to be the longest rest hold I've ever seen. Shit, man, they don't get any longer than that. But, yeah, at the beginning of the match, man, freaking Mahal, man, caught Angle unprepared, man, right to the side of the face. You could tell Angle was unprepared by his reaction. But, yeah, it was funny to see that. And then, of course, Mahal went to work on the Holmes while he was down. And then they had that long rest hold.
maybe it could have been a result. Oh, yeah, he got the wind knocked out of him maybe or something
like
that.
Yeah, it could have been a result of that boot that he took from Mahal to the face at the beginning of the match. Before the match even started, I think, he laid him down with that freaking boot. But so, yeah, because then we had that long-ass wrestle. And then, of course, the rest was history. Just a boring freaking match, filler of a match. And, I didn't expect to see Angle out there at the very end as well. Honoring Ric Flair, but I guess we can get to that one later. But yeah, this whole Angle and Mahal was funny though. He was funny in his promo in the beginning, so I'll give him a half a point for that one.
Christian, I mean, what has Ric Flair done? He's accomplished nothing. Jinder's done everything.
He became the most horrid world champion ever, the WWE champion. That was fucking horrible. But anyway, why is this fucker still employed? Seriously, what has Jinder Mahal contributed to the WWE? Absolutely fucking nothing. This match was boring. It was pointless. Fuck this match. It was garbage.
And welcome, Ron Burgundy to WrestleCorp. Welcome back, Ron Burgundy. And Mum Ron's there as well. Oh, my God. Oh, man. But go to WrestleCorp.com on the Fallout thread, and you can see what I'm laughing about. And then Alexa Bliss comes out looking mighty fine. Oh, my God.
Oh,
and,
man.
I know, right? And then Finn Balor comes out. And then Leo Rush comes out. And then it turns into Leo Rush versus Finn Balor for the Intercontinental Championship. And Finn Balor wins. Now, I would have had Leo Rush win the title tonight. Hey, why not? Do something different. Minister Sinister, what'd you think of this whole schlamazel?
Well, I was thinking the same thing, man. Why not put the title on Leo Rush just for the fuck of it? They're fucking up with everything else. Why not just do this and surprise everybody with that as well? Do a reset on it. Who gives a fuck? But yeah, man, Alexa Bliss, holy crap, man. What a fucking little heartbreaker this bitch is, huh? Dear God, man. Just looking phenomenal out there, man. Those black leather pants. Ooh. Ooh, man, but I digress. Listen, man. The whole thing, I'm digging this. I know Christian is not a fan, but I'm digging this Alexa Bliss, moment of bliss thing. We already know she's always going to get interrupted. It's always going to be good. But damn it, man, that goddamn Leo Rush, man, pissing me off tonight. Coming out here just as Alexa was going to show puppies or ass or something. Because she was all over Finn Balor, man. She wanted to see those abs. And she was willing to put out a little booty on that shit. And fucking Leo Rush taking that from us. Man, if I would have been close to that fool, I think I would have bitch slapped him right then and there.
Right then and there. Christian from Philadelphia, what did you think of the Intercontinental Championship moment of bliss?
Stealing my moment of bliss.
This match was fucking boring. It was so fucking boring. I couldn't even fucking care. I knew that Finn was going to win, but fuck me. It was so fucking boring. The fans couldn't even give a fuck about it because it was that fucking boring. It was so fucking Leo Rush targeting Finn Balor's leg like Finn Balor's a fucking giant, even though they're almost the same size, but not really.
But you gotta give the kudos to Balor, though, for selling. He was selling like a motherfucker, as boring as the match may have been. He was the good thing about it was the selling. He did some top notch selling, at least I thought.
Yeah, it was good, but fuck me, this match was boring. As for Alexa Bliss, she was looking as fine as ever, but we could blame Nia Jax because she's probably still injured, but she hasn't wrestled at all since that fucking tag match on Raw.
Yep.
Fuck me, fuck you, Nia. You ruined another wrestling career. Fuck you, you fat bitch.
There you are. Okay.
I'm here. I just I turned my head and Modern Family's on and it's ridiculous. So I'm sorry. I was just not paying attention to anything Christian was saying. And again, welcome Ron Burgundy. Come on back. Minister, go talk to them. They need some...
I don't have my laptop tonight. I am without laptops, so I can't do it on my phone, man. I'm just not that type of guy, man. I don't even have social media on my fucking phone. I cannot do
not that type
but
of
welcome
guy.
Welcome to the chat. But welcome to the chat,
yeah.
Hello.
Ron Burgundy. Looks like we might have found a challenger for Diva 316 in her women's title match.
Oh, man. Diva 316, that's a name I have not heard in a while.
He's a former, well, that's the sixth match in IWC Revolver. And Ron Burgundy is a former Legends champion and a former IC champion and a former Armageddon champion. So why not be the woman's champion of the IWC?
Things just fall into place, baby. They just fall into place, right into place.
It just happened, but... For those of you who don't know, after WrestleMania, Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania will probably be the last Fallout for a while. just because we want to take a break. It might not. It's a possibility if WrestleMania delivers and feels invigorated, but that's maybe not a thing, not a possibility. But we will still have IWC Revolver, which I just mentioned will pit Minister of Sinister against Double L in a Hell in a Cell match. Christian from Philadelphia will take on Batman for the Legends Championship.
You're going to take on who?
I'm going to take on Best Friends NXT for the World Generation Championship, didn't know. Raj,
and
Raging Raj, taking on Spirit Squad Nikki for the Armageddon Championship. And yes, Diva 316 with an open challenge for the Women's Championship. So that's going to be a great pay-per-view only here on the World Generation Podcast Network. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to finish out on Raw. We'll probably finish early. Why not? Seems like a night for it. Everything is rushed, so let's rush it too. If you want to go to wrestling
breaks, though. Speaking of breaks, let me get this in there real quick. I mean, you know, we might. Who knows? We might continue the show, especially if that new sponsor comes through, the Asian Orchids Spa and Massage. If that new sponsor comes through, you know, and they deliver, you know, they deliver the goods, you know, hey, we might just continue this, you know. I mean, who can't use a hot Asian chick right beside you while you're doing the show, you know, giving you a little massage, and, you know, we could all have happy endings. I mean, you know, who knows? So if the sponsor comes through, you know, I mean, shit, man, I think I'm going to sign up for a contract.
Why not? All right, well, on that note, we are going to take a break. Go to WrestleCorp.com, and we'll be back with more on Monday Night Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. We'll be right back. To do another radio show. Yeah, no. What do you want to call it? You want to call it drinking soda, but you don't want to call it soda because where you're at, they drink pop. Nobody wants to drink pop, you Santori. I got a better idea. It's on Tuesdays, right? Tuesday night? Okay. Well, you did Ripping Fridays. You did Saturday Night Special. You did Tuesday's Gone. Hey, let's face Tuesday together. All right, cool. Facing Tuesdays with Santori. Tuesday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. Sounds great? Great. Let's do it. Yes, I'll make sure to let everyone know you figured out how to use Instagram. Okay, bye. Are you ready for some more wrestling talk? Join Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, headliner Joe Bates, and Rancho punk rocker Albert Salazar as they recap some of this week's shenanigans in the WWE. Fatal 4-Way Radio makes its triumphant return to the World Generation Podcast Network. People everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp. WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life, this is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life.
I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.
Word life.
This is basic thugonomics.
Word life.
I'm untouchable.
Welcome back to Monday Night Fallout, everyone. Go to WrestleCorp.com. Don't forget, on Saturdays, aside from Radio Renegades, the Alpha and Omega will be back this week. The Omega Opinion, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. All right, moving right along, we get Bobby Lashley versus Braun Strowman. It's not really a match. Bobby Lashley comes out, gets mad at Leo Rush. Braun Strowman beats the both of them, and we go to the back. Minister of Sinister, what'd you think of this short thing? Not Leo Rush.
Obviously, filler. You know, nothing really happened here, and it happened so fast that I missed it.
All right, fair enough. Christian.
Even if this was a match, it would have been still shit. Lashley is slow as fuck. And Braun Strowman is a novelty act, so it would have been garbage if this was a full match anyway. Why is fucking Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin still fucking stable? That's the question we'll never get fucking answered. But, yeah, it was shit. Both those men were shit, and it was garbage.
Well, at least Bobby Lashley showed a little fire in the beginning, yelling at Leo Rush. He needs more of that, and I think that's a good thing. So from that, we move on to Dean Ambrose versus Drew McIntyre. And a belt match, Dean Ambrose wearing two belts, not just one. And both men got hit with the strap. Dean Ambrose was about to give a dirty deed on the steps. Elias came out and hit Dean Ambrose with a guitar. And then four men, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin, and Elias. Ambrose in the middle of the ring. Out comes Seth Rollins. Out comes Roman Reigns to make the save. And what do? Instead of helping Dean Ambrose up, they just walk the fuck away. Like, okay, gone. And that's how the segment ended, with Dean Ambrose looking like, what's going on? I must be a lunatic because this is insane. Minister of Sinister, what did you think of the match of the night? Minister? You're on mute again, Minister.
Yeah, man. Obviously, some type of statement was made there to further the storyline and possibly integrate it later on. But yeah, man, this match didn't get exciting until the end. I didn't really care for it. There was, what, no DQ, right? Or belt match or whatever the hell. What was the stipulation on that? No DQ?
Yep.
Strap match or whatever the hell. Who the fuck knows?
It was a no disqualification match.
No DQ match. So then you get Elias coming in with the guitar shot and shit. And let's see. And then the other guys come out. Get Elias to go with them. And they all get in the ring and they fucking pummel Dean Ambrose. So, yeah, I'm still not convinced, man. After watching all of that, I just can't be convinced that Dean Ambrose is leaving just yet. This could be, you know, the burn of, you know, you got to do the work, man. If you're going to do some shit like that, you got to do the work. This is the time spent in the trenches. You know, you got to lay out the groundwork. They're going with the flow of, you know, he's leaving. They got to make us think he's getting punished and shit. He's got to do all that work. And then in the end, you know, hey, man, I made a fucking deal. The caveat is, as T-Rock put it, you know, and, you know, this is it. The night after WrestleMania, boom, 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 title exchanges hands, Rollins gets fucked, Dean Ambrose fucked him. You know, Roman Reigns comes back in the picture.
Well, and it's obvious that they didn't want to spoil a Shield reunion. I think eventually it's going to be one of those things where, like, they'll all look at each other and they'll put out the thing, and then they'll hug, and then they'll put their fist out, and then they can sell the rest of their T-shirts that they have in their warehouse.
They got to get rid of them, man, before any real breakups.
Well, yeah, before Dean Ambrose leaves, bring the Shield back one more time, right? I mean, why not? Christian from Philadelphia. Lots of T-shirts to sell.
Yeah, but this is why I'm going to say again, Renee Young is fucking terrible in commentary. This bitch has been extremely terrible all night.
Oh!
But the fucked up thing is, right, she's going against her husband in this match. I'm hearing her in commentary saying, Dean Ambrose has a fucking death wish. You know, like, lady, that's your husband. Why are you going against him? He's not the heel in this situation. He's the face, and Drew's the heel. Why are you supporting the heel at your husband? And I'm like, why is this bitch so terrible? She's fucking awful. She's one of those commentators where she's trying to be behind the fucking time. She's saying, damn, girl, with the whole Bailey match and all that shit. She's fucking awful. Get her off commentary. I'm sick of Renee. I'm sorry. The experiment is over. Get her the fuck out of that commentary booth and make her go back to fucking backstage commentating because she's fucking terrible.
And nothing more about the match. Okay. From the best match of the night to why? This next match went on so long. So long. Like Ric Flair's
so
birthday
long.
Celebration. This match, and it went on forever, and Bayley still won, and Nia Jax is still fat. Even fatter. Like, oh my God. Jesus. Minister. Jesus, minister.
Yeah, here's the thing, T-Rock and Christian. I've gotten to the point where I have to fucking find ways. And by the way, shout out to everybody in the chat room, Mum Roth, Best Friends NXT, and Ron Burgundy. I've gotten to the point where I have to find ways to entertain myself while watching this shit. Okay, and one of the ways I do it is by doing that little button, you know, pushing that button that repeats a certain distance of time and shit. And I do it when something funny happens or something funny is said or some shit. And I just do it, and then I keep doing it, and it gets funnier and funnier. Next thing you know, I'm cracking myself up, okay? That's the kind of shit I'm having to do with this. So I also started watching late tonight. I started watching at 8:05 or 8:07, somewhere around there. So right off the bat, I was down an hour, which is okay because 3 hours programming, you get 20 minutes per hour of commercials. So boom, you can catch up like that. But then entertaining myself here and there with the pauses and shit and then the breaks and shit, I found myself running behind. And this match is the one that fucking paid for it. I fast-forward through it. I saw the very end and was shocked as hell that Nia Jax lost, that she took the fucking pin. And so here we are, Bayley, no less, pins Nia Jax. So that's all I'm left with, and that's all I got out of it.
Christian, why did this match last so long?
I don't know. Maybe it's because they were busy preparing for the whole birthday celebration and all that. They did it for time, probably the soft for time. But let me tell you something. Out of all those four women in that fucking match, Tamina has got to look like the biggest fucking idiot ever. She does nothing fucking right in her whole fucking career. She was a terrible bodyguard for AJ Lee, a fucking terrible bodyguard for Lana. And here this bitch calls, running straight to Sasha Banks, and she fucking gets hit by Cecile Steps. This bitch cannot do anything fucking right. She's the most incompetent heel wrestler in her whole fucking career. She's fucking garbage. She's trash. Fucking release this bitch. She's trash. She's.
They will never release the murderer's daughter.
Never.
Never. Never release the murderer's daughter.
Never.
Never release the murderer's daughter. Never. Murderer's daughter. That's all I have to say about that. All right. So, the end segment. the nursing home closed and everybody came to Raw.
Oh, shit.
They wheeled him out one by one. Shawn Michaels looking like he's a spastic, like Tourette's. I don't know what the fuck he was doing. Ricky Steamboat always looks good, and he gave Rollins a chop, and Rollins oversold it, of course. And then
that was funny.
Yeah, and then who else? Oh, Kurt Angle came out, and he really does look like a thumb, a big thumb. And then Sting came out looking great, just no shook. Rollins, which is good because at least he's still further, you know, that's storytelling. For the 1 second they had their feud, he turned his back, ended his life, whatever, and then they come out to the ring, there's a cake, and Triple H and Stephanie are like, what's going on? Where's Ric Flair? Where is he? Where's Ric? The video package was good, but where's Ric? Where'd he go? We got a cake for you, Ric. Where? And then Batista dragging a cameraman into the Ric Flair's dressing room. Some noise is made, and then Ric Flair gets dragged out, and Batista does more in 20 seconds than WWE has done this whole year. And then we end. Mr. Sinister, what did you think of Cocoon Part 3?
God damn it, that was good stuff, man. Yeah, dude, fuck, I have to tell you, man, that Batista has done more, just like you said, dear God. Yeah, man, that was, Batista did his role. Obviously, I still wonder, obviously, it's to set up the match with Triple H. Triple H, I guess, been cleared. So here we go. The question is, will Ric Flair be in the corner? And why wasn't Charlotte there? And why?
I don't know.
That
doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like, instead of some random woman coming out of Ric Flair, random hooker came out of the limo.
he was at the spa, man.
He picked her up. In old Vegas, not new Vegas. He picked her up in the corner of old Las Vegas, dragged her out, whoever this woman is, come out. Why didn't Charlotte come out? That would have been good, and then Charlotte could have been in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, it's a thing, but no.
Yeah.
I don't know. That girl,
weird,
she really
man.
Looked like some, like, old hooker that you just see on the street corner. You like some head? $5 if you a happy ending on that. All right, Christian. What's going on here, buddy?
Look, this, if you haven't known the history of Evolution, Batista and Ric Flair had the tightest, closest relationship in that stable. They were the tag team champions together. Ric Flair molded Batista to who he is right now. He motivated Batista. So what I'm saying right now could be a theory, but it might be true. This is all a big swerve. This is all an act. And when WrestleMania comes by, Ric Flair causes Triple H to lose and Batista to beat him again. This is all a big swerve.
Ron Burgundy says that the woman was his wife. Ric Flair's wife.
Oh, hell. That's funny.
He says it was Ric Flair's wife or Fifi the maid.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Sorry, Christian. Go ahead.
So what you're saying, Christian, is that Batista is going to make Triple H lose?
No, Ric Flair is going to make Triple H lose. I'm saying that Ric Flair and Batista are in the con act.
This is all a con. Gotcha.
We didn't see Batista physically attack Flair. All we heard was noises. So this is all a con act.
Why don't after that, Randy Orton comes out and he's like gonna save Triple H, and then he turns on Triple H too, and then they all start beating the hell out of Triple H.
This is all big con act. This is all big con game.
And they all start beating the hell out of Triple H, but that's my guy.
Well, the guy.
Everybody knows I've always been a Triple H guy, man.
Time to play the game.
They're going to beat up Triple H. Huh? And then Vince McMahon is going to come out and say, it was us. It was me. It was me all along because I hate you. Triple H, you took my daughter. Blah, blah, blah.
Mumra says Nia Jax deserved to eat the pin. She eats everything else, so why not eat a pin as well?
And you know what's funny? Batista.
Me tonight.
Batista sneaked in after the fact that Becky Lynch got arrested by the cops. So is this coincidental?
Everybody was expecting Becky to get bailed out and come back after 30 minutes like they normally do. But that didn't happen. You know, you could definitely tell that tonight Bruce Pritchard was back in Vince McMahon's ear because the show was very erratical and it did feel rushed, but in a good way. It wasn't awful. But let's get our reviews overall. See what everybody thought. Let's go to Minister of Sinister. Bruce Pritchard's first time back as kind of running Raw a little.
Yeah. You can definitely tell that the show was... went in a different direction.
Whose vibrator is that? Who's the vibrator? I heard it. Somebody? Christian, turn off your vibrator.
That wasn't me.
Minister, turn off your vibrator.
I don't know anything about a vibrator, man, but the fucking show, man, it was different. It was different, man. What's going on, man? All right, the show was different.
I heard a buzzing. It sounded like, are you shaving? Are you shaving in the podcast? Really?
The fucking, really? You know, it had a couple of good moments to it, and then it had some bad moments to it, and then it had a bunch of fucking just shit that, like, why do it at all? Why continue with it? But now Elias seems to be tied up in a new storyline. Is he going to be a part of that that freaking faction that they got going on, them dudes? There's a lot of questions about that faction. What the fuck's going on with those guys? So there's still a lot that needs to be resolved. But, yeah, you can definitely tell that there was a different hand in it tonight. I'm going to go Bret Hart on this, 4 out of 10. You could tell something's a-stirring, and something's a-stirring and brewing and shit, and hopefully it comes out pretty good.
I think that Elias should have not had his shirt on because he looked so out of place with all the rest of them. He should have had, you know.
He really did.
He did. Even though Baron Corbin still dressed like a waiter, and Elias is dressed like some guy you meet in Hawaii trying to steal your wife. You know, he should have like had his, you know, his pectorals out because that's what Vince likes, a lot of pectorals. So 4
well,
out of 10,
yeah,
huh?
He was lacking on the beef. He was lacking
no
on
beef.
The beef.
There was
Elias
not enough beef.
Had, yeah, not enough beef on behalf of Elias. He should have had no shirt on. The other guys had no shirt on, so he didn't make sense out there. But maybe that's part of the sign telling us that he's not really with them, and maybe he'll be, you know, used as a scapegoat later on for that very
Christian.
Reason.
Christian. Yes?
I'm gonna give the show 2 out of 10. It was still a little bit rushed and bad, but it was okay in my book. So 2 out of 10. As Mercy.
2 out of 10! Highest rating you've given a show in 20 months. 2 out of 10.
Well,
Like
Pritch, well, yes. It's got to be Pritch.
That's as merciful as I'm going to get.
All right. I'm actually going to give it a 6 out of 10 because it was, you know what? I was interested. It made me feel like I was watching older Raws where anything could happen and anything did happen. And it was kind of interesting. So, yeah, I'll give it a 6 out of 10. Let's go to the chat thread and see. Ron Burgundy said, Uso takes his shirt off to fight the cops, but still keeps it on when on TV. And Mum Ross says, Bruce Pritchard is a good person at running the show. It will take a while before we see the full influence. All right, so before we end the show, let's talk a little bit of future predictions. So, WrestleMania, right? WrestleMania is coming around the corner. It looks like we're going to have Batista versus Triple H. It looks like we're gonna have Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. It's probably going to be a triple threat for the Women's Championship. Big question, who does Ambrose fight? Who does Strowman fight? And who does Daniel Bryan fight? Minister of Sinister, you go first. And you're on mute again, Minister. Minister?
Yeah, no, I actually didn't think I was on mute, but I was. but yeah. Listen, Strowman against Ambrose sounds pretty good. Have Ambrose.
Oh, I didn't say that. I said, who are they going to face? Who
each
is Strowman going to face?
Would be each other. Would be good. Have because what has Strowman done really? What are they going to do with him really?
He's going to win the Battle Royal. He's going to win the Andre
again?
Giant.
Didn't he already do that?
I don't think he won that yet.
Well, then, because
last year's winner was, who was last year's winner? And no, because it matters so much. Who was it?
Matt Hardy,
and the year before that was Baron Corbin, and the year before that was Cesaro, and then
Big Show,
and oh, we forgot about the other guy. Yeah, so he hasn't won that, so give him that. Dean Ambrose can face the Shield.
Jinder Mahal.
I don't.
Loser leave WWE match, or who the hell knows?
Well, it looks
you know
like
Ambrose
probably
could have a loser leave match, right? Loser leave WWE match, and
maybe
then you know something happens where
Elias.
He doesn't leave.
Dean
there you go.
Elias.
And if something happens where he doesn't leave, he comes back, he cut a new deal, signed a new contract, it voids that last match, and he gets a title shot tonight against Rollins. And Rollins is there right after WrestleMania, bandaged ribs, on crutches, and Dean Ambrose takes him out.
And Daniel Bryan, who's he facing? Is Kofi going to win at Fastlane?
No, man, I don't think Kofi wins at Fastlane. But that would give them reason to have a Fatal 4-Way or some type of match like that for Bryan's championship. Something.
Yeah, it could be Randy Orton versus AJ Styles versus Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan. And Samoa Joe can be in the Battle Royal, and Jeff Hardy
beat
could
everybody.
Yeah, he could eat everybody. Okay,
yeah.
Christian, who are all those people facing at WrestleMania?
All right, Dean Ambrose will face Finn Balor for the IC belt one last time because we've never seen Dean versus Finn ever. Braun Strowman, I think, will face Lars Sullivan in WrestleMania. And I think Daniel Bryan will face Bray Wyatt when he comes back because I'm going to say Luke Harper returns at Fastlane, causes Kofi the match, and then it's up to Bray Wyatt to fight Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania for the WWE Championship. Those are my predictions.
Wow, Bray's just going to come back and just get a title shot. Okay.
Everybody else has gotten a fucking title shot for no reason. Why not Bray?
Why not Bray? Well, we are only 4 months away. Mojo Rawley, thank you. And Mojo Rawley, that was the other person who did it. All right, so I think that's it. WrestleMania is 2 pay-per-views away, also a month away. So read into that what you want.
Wait,
and
is it 2 pay-per-views away? So
yeah,
Fastlane and then another one?
No, Fastlane and WrestleMania. I count that as 2.
Oh, okay. All right, I got you.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you got me. Cause... All right,
I got
so
you, I got you.
Let's close ourselves out because we're going to end the show. Next week we're going to do predictions, so that'll be fun for Fastlane. But Christian, sorry, close yourself out.
All right, I'm just going to say again for the record that the happy birthday to Ric Flair, first of all. But I think the reason why they did it was because I think it's a big con and that Ric Flair is going to help Batista win at WrestleMania against Triple H. That's all I'm going to say. And I bet you they would do some shit like that. So join me on Fatal 4 Radio with me and Minister. And join me on Saturdays with Radio Renegade. Good night, everybody. See you then.
Ladies and gentlemen, your IWC Legends Champion, Chris Kahn. From Minister.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks to everybody listening and everybody in the chat thread. And I have to tell you, man, tonight's show did have a different feel. It did have a different feel. So obviously they've been listening to us. They know we've been demanding change on here week after week. They went and got a new creative head writer who brought along some change tonight. The show had a different tone to it. So here we are giving four out of tens instead of twos and zeros. And even Christian gave a 2 out of 10 tonight. So things are looking up. Things are looking up. All they can do now is save us. The better their show gets, the better our show gets. How about that? But, yeah, listen to my show on Thursday, Fatal 4-Way Radio. And then, of course, listen to the Radio Renegades. And then, of course, tomorrow night, Mike Santori. They're back tomorrow night. Do you know?
Yep.
Have you heard anything?
Yep. Yep. The Who. It is the Who show. They're gonna do the Who.
The Who. So,
the Who. All
right. Thanks, everybody. And we'll check you out next time. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, the IWC World Heavyweight Champion, Minister! And this just in from me, the head booker of the IWC, my match with Best Friends NXT at IWC Revolver will be an inferno match! An inferno match! I'm going to set that mofo on fire! Wow, what a pay-per-view that's going to be! Hell in a Cell, Minister and Double L for the World Heavyweight Championship. Legends Championship versus Batman versus Christian with Joe Bates as the special guest referee. Diva 316 with her open challenge. Rage and Raj versus Spirit Squad Nikki. A rivalry for the ages for the Armageddon Championship. And, of course, something else. And all that here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Tomorrow, Santori. Thursday, Ministers, Fatal 4-Way Radio, Joe Bates on Friday, Saturday, Omega Opinion, and Radio Renegades. Sunday, the greatest talk show. This week, you should listen to it. It was good, and then we'll be back next Monday with predictions on the show. So thanks to you, everybody, for tuning in. Mumra, Ron Burgundy, Best Friends NXT, and all the hot dog gifs and all the... no, Talking Wrestling with Lou is not still going, but we might bring it back for a special WrestleMania edition. Stay tuned for that, because everybody loves Talking Wrestling with Lou. I'm T-Rock Plutonium. Why? Because it's what makes time travel possible if you smell what T-Rock is cooking. We'll see you guys next week on Monday Night Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. Be there.
been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.
Number 5 is alive.